listening to Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment, no excuses.
Got Paranormal. Is a talk show based on the integration of shared ideas coming from multiple perspectives within a round table format. Designed to examine assumptions and to expand awareness. Join S.E. Burns and her co-host as they make sure you have got paranormal.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Tonight's guest is animal communicator Tim Link. Joining me again are my co-hosts Robert J. Bradbury of the Gut and Bone Show here on Tenacity Radio and our professor of history, Professor Earl Shandemeyer. Gut Wrench is monitoring the chat room, so if you have any questions, he'll do his best to include you. Welcome, Tim Link.
Well, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
And we are excited to have you here. You're our first animal communicator that I've ever interviewed, so I'm really excited.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thanks for making me your first, and we'll see if you can make it a happy time for everybody.
All right, great. Tim, how did you get, I've been dying to know this, how did you get started in this field with just with animals, communicating with them?
Yeah, you know, it was actually quite a surprise to me because I've always had a love affair with animals. You know, I love animals. I've had animals in my life, but I never really had what I call that, you know, that deep connection. You know, you hear all these wonderful stories about how a particular person, when they were a small child, they rescued animals from the side of the road, and all the animals would come to their house, and they would talk to the squirrels, etc. And unfortunately, when I was young, that never happened to me. I grew up in a very small town with a small family, and I was taught to get a good education. I was the first in my family to go to college and paid my way through college. And started a 20-year career as a telecom executive and worked with some of the biggest names in the telecommunications industry from around the world. Mm-hmm. But little did I know that in 2004, that was all going to change. I was attending a little workshop taught by the late Judy Byers. Judy was an animal communicator, a spiritual healer. She did a lot of work in the metaphysical world, a lot of energy healing work, etc. And Judy was in town to teach a little basic introduction to how to calm your mind, open your heart, open your mind to the possibility of connecting with animals. And I had no preconceived idea that anything was going to happen. I thought it'd be a lot of fun, around a lot of animals, a lot of like-minded people. And most importantly, my wife wanted that as a present for her birthday. So I thought that would be a good birthday present for her. So
she wanted what?
She wanted to go to the workshop.
Ah, okay. Do you have animals?
We have a plethora of animals. We've got
at dogs. That time, though, did you have animals?
We did. My wife, I always call her lovingly my Ellie Mae Clampett. she's never seen a critter she didn't like. And so we've had
you should call them
everything
vermin?
From dogs to cats to birds to fish to turtles and on and on and on.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
Workshop and
yeah. So in 2004, we went to this little half day workshop, and we were taught how to sort of meditate, clear your mind a little bit, and open your heart. And we started connecting with animals that were at the host family's house. And we had pictures of animals that we were taught to focus on and communicate and ask very basic questions at that time. Things like, what color is Fluffy's litter box? Where does Spot like to eat his food? Where does Winnie eat her hay? These type of things.
Okay, but I'm under the impression then that anyone can do this.
Well, I think that when you're born, we have this ability, this telepathic connection. And so when we're young and we're not taught our vocabulary and to speak like we're speaking on the show tonight, we have that connection, whether it's human-to-human connection or whether it's human-to-animal connection. So animals talk telepathically to each other. That's how they communicate. That's how they know what to do without saying a word. And we have that ability when we're very young to be able to connect at that level.
I guess I've heard about that with twins. twin babies.
Absolutely. So when you've got twins, they have that deep connection, that deep heart connection. They can speak to each other telepathically. And that's why you hear the stories of, you know, twins are born together, they're raised together, they go off to college, one goes to California, one goes to New York. All of a sudden, the one twin in California wakes up one day and thinks there's just something not quite right with its twin in New York, that there's just this feeling, this vision, this hearing, this knowing, whatever it may be. And sure enough, they picks up the phone, calls his twin in New York, and lo and behold, yeah, there is a problem.
Okay. So back to the telepathic connection that you're being taught with, like, what colors the litter box. Let's go back to that. That's interesting.
Yeah, so once we had learned to get in that deep state, that meditative state, and to clear our mind and open our heart, we focused on the animals, focused on our pictures of the animals, and we asked a simple question. You know, Fluffy, I'm looking at a picture of Fluffy, and I say, Fluffy, what color is your litter box? And at that time, I would receive usually a couple of words or a picture. And I had no, at that point, I had no idea I was even going to receive anything. But I would receive a couple of words or a picture, and the word may be green or green outside, which would say that the litter box is green, but it's outside, like on a deck or something of a sort. And so without any notion I was getting anything correct, I would jot down on a notepad what I received. And we went around the room. There were 12 participants in the class, and we all said what we received from the animal, and only the human companion or the owner of the animal knew the exact answer. And lo and behold, every time I connected with the animal, not only did I receive information, but the information was correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now, how many people in the group had correct answers like you did? Was it
very few? No, it was very, very few. Every once in a while, we'd get one or two right from the other participants, and what I was receiving was spot on each time. Which you know, I'm not a math whiz, but even at the time, I did the arithmetic, and you know, there's 12 people in the class, so 11 people times about 4 or 5 pictures of animals and 4 or 5 questions per animal. So roughly over 100 questions were asked. And not only did I receive 100 bits of information, but I received, you know, it was accurate each time.
Oh, my God.
That's what I thought.
I have a question. I have a question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
First of all, has anybody told you you look like Leo Laporte?
Leo Laporte, if he's a handsome stud, yeah, I think.
Well, if anybody knows.
I don't know who Leo Laporte is, unfortunately.
He's dashing everybody, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. I'll take that as a compliment.
My question will center around the fact, have you ever wondered if you could do the same thing without communicating with a specific pet? Could you get the answers without asking a pet?
Well, as far as just if universal questions, asking
well, no, if you're asking a pet, what color is your litter box? Do you think you could just ask it and get the answer without asking the pet?
Oh yeah, well absolutely. You know, when I first
I don't even understand that question. Sorry,
I'm saying, do you think that maybe you are just psychic and it's not just the animal; it's just the fact that you want to speak with an animal.
I was going
to
ask him about that later, but that's okay.
Yeah,
we'll start that. Go ahead.
Well, the connection when I'm working with animals, whether it's in person or through a picture, that's the conduit I'm using. That's the connection I have. And, you know, each animal has their own unique energy signature, and they have their own personality. And it doesn't matter what the type of animal is, the breed of animal, or even what if they come from the same litter. They're just like you and I, and they have their own energy signature, and they have their own personality. And the unique thing about, as the gift has developed over the years, I've been doing this since 2004 now, and since the gift has developed, not only am I receiving, you know, a couple of words or a picture, but I'm now receiving multiple words, feelings, emotions from the animals. I can feel what they feel. If they've got a pain or sensation, I pick up on that sensation. I actually feel those things. I can see the colors. I can see the vision. So it's really, and it's all based on what the animal wants to share. You know,
okay. But Tim, this is what I can't grasp about telepathy. What do you mean by you're getting actual words from the animal? Is it like when somebody says they see a ghost and the ghost is communicating to them and the mouth isn't moving, but you understand what they're saying?
Exactly. and you're hearing that. And for me, I hear it from an external voice, as well as internally, as you know, in that type of situation,
but
as well.
Is their voice sounding human?
Well, they're sounding in the manner that they feel that I can best understand. So let me explain a little bit more detail. So each animal has their own personality, so they're going to have their own unique way of communicating. Some animals are going to be very conservative and may only choose to communicate in pictures and feelings. Others may try to use the whole gamut of feelings, colors, emotions, words, tastes, feels, all these wonderful things. So it really depends on that particular animal. But they also have to be in the connection that is in place. They have to make sure that I understand what they're trying to tell me. So they're doing it in a manner that they feel I can best understand them. So when I teach, just to let you know, I teach animal communication classes and workshops myself. And when I do this, you know, everybody is sort of going into it hoping and expecting to hear words, hear a human conversation, sort of a Dr. Doolittle type of situation. And that's not always the case. And especially early on, until you really learn how to work with a gift, you may not receive all the information, but you're going to receive more than what you would probably expect. And it may be more in feelings. For some people, some it may be vision, some it may be, words, you know, spoken words.
Sounds like extreme empathy.
You have to be. You actually do have to be empathic. You know, you have to have that heart connection and be open to it. So it goes back to the beginning. You know, you clear your mind of any preconceived thoughts or ideas about what the experience is going to be, or even if you can have that deep a connection with animals. But also you have to open your heart. You have to open your heart to have that type of connection, because if you're not being honest about it, then having that heart connection, you're never going to be able to really communicate with them at that deep a level.
Tim, did you get that picture of Alistair yet on our Skype? Alistair the cat.
I did.
Do you see him?
I will.
This cat, I have a dear friend, Christina Roberts, and this cat was very, very dear to her. Are you getting anything from this picture? He did pass away.
Yeah, just bear with me here. Ask me another question while I'm working the wonderful forms of telecommunications to open the picture.
you can't open it?
I'm getting
this. Is my fault, because I erased my Skype history accidentally before you came on, so I'm sorry you're seeing it right now.
That's fine.
Were you able to open it yet?
No, I'll let you know when I get Alistair up and running.
How do people find out about your workshops?
Yeah, the best thing to do to find out more about me, find out more about the workshops, my radio shows, my books that are out there, go to my website. The website is wagging-tales.com. That's wagging-tales.com. And that'll give you an idea of who I am, what this is all about, how you can sign up for your own consultations for your own animals. There's a lot of different work and methods that I use there. Reiki energy healings on there as well. So, yeah, be sure to check that out.
Okay. And I think Robbie's going to put that up in the chat room for us.
Okay, great.
There was a question in the chat room asking if you could connect with people in the same way.
Well, I tell them that I choose not to, because they're way too confusing compared to animals.
I agree there.
Yeah. But an honest question behind that is I typically don't work with people, with humans, unless there's something coming from the animal that they need the human to know. So if there is a illness or a dis-ease or energy or something that is really causing the animal a lot of distress or dis-ease within themselves, they will let me know. And I will then be able to, you know, help the human out, let them know that their animal is, you know, how their lifestyle is, how their energy is impacting the animal itself.
I've interviewed a guy who can see auras and spirits and stuff like that, and he claims that when he's out in the city, he lives in New York, that he goes nuts, and that he has to get out of there. When you go to a dog park, what's it like?
Yeah, you know, when when this gift first uncovered itself, when it presented itself, I remember that night. It really was a Dr. Doolittle episode for me. It was animals communicating from me to me from all areas. It was just being bombarded with it, and it was actually very overwhelming. And the next morning, bright and early, I contacted Judy, my mentor, and said, "You know, Judy, this is a wonderful gift, but if it's going to be like this, how do I shut it off? You know, I don't want it anymore. How do I get it out of
exactly?
Me? And really, she just laughed. She said, "Hun, it's you. It's your it's presented itself to you. You can't deny it's there. So you either have to try to work with it or try to push it back the best you can." So what we did was we worked on techniques on how to shut it off when necessary, how to let the animals know that when if they really need to communicate with me, they can. Otherwise, I'm not able to do it at all times. Because you're right. Otherwise, it'd be way too much energy, way too much conversation, and I wouldn't be able to help them out effectively.
Okay, Tim, I put Alistair's picture just go back to where I talked to you initially when I asked you to connect with Robert. Can you see Alistair's picture trying to load there?
Got beautiful Alistair. Looks like a little, it's black and white photo, but it's white and black or white and gray.
That's it. Yeah.
Right by the computer. Oh, what a beautiful soul.
I know. I wish the chat room could see this cat's eyes.
Just very intent, very photogenic. So focus on the camera. So some words without even asking questions, just let you know, popping out right along. Too long, been gone too long. And I think this is something. How long has he been made his transition?
I want to just say a couple years, actually.
Yeah, and the too long is coming from. You'll need to ask your friend some of these questions, or maybe she's on he or she's on the chat room. But it seems like it's been too long. That's the terminology. So Alistair,
well, that's I mean, she's expressed that to me. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where Alistair is. She still has. He has that connection with her. He is around frequently. Especially when there's shifts or things going on in her life, he's presenting himself. I'm not sure if she's recognizing it or not. It could be just a feeling.
She does.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So he's around a lot, and he's continuing to stay around a lot. She's going through a lot of changes. He keeps using the word changes.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he understands that, and he is a real support mechanism for her. Even after his transition, he's a real support mechanism. And so, you know, not only is he coming back to remind her that he's always there, but to help her with her guidance in making these shifts and these changes that she's making. So he'll come in those aha moments when she's trying to make a decision, when she's contemplating something, really doesn't have a clue what she really needs to do. All of a sudden, he will appear. And that's her confirmation that she's on the right track.
It is then. Because, Tim, you're amazing because Alistair shows up in her dreams.
Yeah, and that's a great place for him to show up because, you know, the conscious mind has finally laid its head down and the subconscious can open up, and that's where those real heart connections come into play. And that's the amazing thing about animals, especially animals that have made their transition. They will come back. They will try to make their appearances, especially in the early days after the transition, because they want to help you with that closure. They want to make you understand that everything is well, that they're fine, and then that they're there to support you. They're little furry angels. So they'll make those appearances. Over time, they tend to appear less and less. That's because their body is trying to go in their energy, I should say. Their energy is trying to go through that regeneration process to reach its full potential, to reach its peak to where it was when it was in body. And they're focusing on what their next purpose is, their next mission, what they're going to be doing, and they allow you to focus on what you need to be doing. But the key thing is that they will appear. You have to open yourself up to it, and they will appear in some fashion, whether it's a dream state or whether it's a black streak out of the corner of the eye. I've seen gold, mm-hmm. and people told me about gold and silver orbs appearing, these type of things. And don't, you know, the listeners, I want to let you know, don't discount those. Realize that these are your loved ones coming back, your furry friends coming back to help you out.
Now, are these for, like, with Alistair, is there any chance Alistair was anything different than a cat to Christina in a past life, if you believe in past lives?
Yeah, I'm not. Well, here's the connection. He says many lives, so he's been with her in many lives. He's not shown me a human form per se, but I think he's been with her in a form of some sort, especially an animal form. in many cases, in many times, he keeps coming back to this many times. So I think the connection she has with him, he has been with her in the past. I haven't gotten it in human form, but in animal form many times. Now, the next question will probably be, when's he coming back to me again? And I think right now he is trying to do his regeneration to his full potential. I think he is supporting you and coming back to you in the non-body state. You know, in this energy state, will he come back to you in this lifetime? I don't think he's made that decision yet.
You talk like we have a choice there. How and when and why or what?
Well, you know, my philosophy, when we make our transition, you know, I'll speak for animals here. When they make their transition out of body, they go through that regeneration state. We can call it regenerating the energy, the soul, the spirit, the essence, however you want to label it. It goes up into energy is what I use a lot. So universal energy, you can call it heaven. You can call it whatever you want to. So it regenerates up to that. And it gets... This regeneration process could take days, months, or even longer. It really doesn't matter what the trauma was before they made their transition or how old or how young the animal was before they made their transition. But that essence, that energy regenerates up to its full potential. And then at that point, they have an option. I think they have options. They have an option to stay in universal energy and feel that love and do that teaching and being part of all that is part of that universal life.
So essentially,
or they could come back into body.
You're saying they. So does that mean that the animal, their reincarnation is different than what ours would be?
Well, personally, I think it's the same. I think it's exactly the same. I look at every living thing as being energy. Mm-hmm. I think we select our bodies, whether we don't do it consciously. We may do it consciously before we enter the body, then we sort of forget about it after that point. But yeah, we select the body we need to fulfill that purpose while we're here in this world, in this plane.
I think that's fascinating that they communicate that with you. Have you ever heard an animal tell you, I was a human? In fact, I was standing next to you at the baseball game last couple seasons ago.
It's not that detailed, and I've had situations where animals have come back into human form to fulfill whatever that purpose is. I often think that animals are probably too smart to come back as humans, but that's just my
animals think that the humans are worse off than they are. That's an interesting concept. I'd really like to discuss that a little bit with somebody. First of all, they don't have houses.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, the key thing about that is whether we're talking about telepathic connection and how humans struggle with trying to be able to communicate telepathically, or whether it's how humans struggle to fulfill whatever their purpose is here. We spend thousands of dollars in therapy figuring out who we really are and why we're really here. Animals don't have that problem. You know, they don't have egos. They don't have houses and cars and do they look right and are, you know, do I have the best friends, these type of things. They don't worry about that. They have a purpose for being here. They select whatever body it is to try to fulfill that purpose. They focus on that purpose on a daily basis, and hopefully when they make their transition, they've fulfilled that purpose. And whether that purpose is to teach us something or whether it's to provide us love, direction, focus, support, whatever it may be, that's the reason they come back.
So they don't have egos. Why don't they teach us to get rid of our egos? Why isn't that the message you get when you communicate with them?
Well, I think the key is the fact that they do try to communicate that. You have to be open to it. You have to be able to connect with it. You have to be able to do the work that's behind getting rid of your ego. You know, humans have this problem. We have this problem that's called life. And we do get caught up in life.
Right, right.
And we tend to forget our focus. We tend to forget what our true essence and why we're here. And it's because of this thing called life. Animals don't have to worry about that. Animals stay on track, stay on focus, do their best every day. So I think those wake-up calls are there. I think they're there to sort of smack us on the head, but sometimes we just don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, what about wild animals? Do you I have this fascination with birds. I, for some reason, intuitively, I feel like they're on a higher level than us. Mm-hmm. When birds are perched near you, do you get anything from them?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so I have an opportunity to...
Wild birds, I'm sorry.
Absolutely, yeah. I do a lot of work with wild animals as well. I work with also animal sanctuaries, zoos, aquariums. So I get a wide array of animals that I work with in addition to the domestic animals that I work with on a daily basis. I can't say, you know, I hear this often, you know, the birds have to be more majestic, that they're on a higher plane than we are.
Do you really? I never asked about it.
Yeah, the freedom of the birds, you know, the flapping of the wings and being able to fly. Humans always want to be able to fly. You know, that's the fascination behind it. So they had to be at a different plane. Same thing with dolphins and whales. We think they have a deeper understanding and deeper connection. And at least from what I have found out, it really isn't the type of animal it is. It's not the breed or the makeup of a particular animal, a species. It's the individual animal. Individual animal, their personality, their essence, what makes them different. And some can be very majestic, have a lot to say and a lot of prolific things to say if you listen. Others are just there to be part of life and really aren't don't have a deep message. So you have to connect with each individual animal just like with each individual person that you meet and learn to understand them and what they're trying to share with you.
I would like to know the most prolific thing you've heard an animal feel or say.
I've heard an experience. You know, I've had opportunities to swim. We talked about the dolphins. I've swam with the spinner dolphins off the coast of Lanai.
Wow, that's awesome!
And so I've had those opportunities. I've been to Alaska and worked with some of the whales up there as well. And you know, you get the biggest message that they have tried to share with me is the fact that yes, they have an understanding that there's a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of damage going on in the world, but they're not here to point blame, and they want us to know that if we follow our path, if we work together, then all is well. So they're not as tormented as some people think they are, at least the ones I've communicated with. But they do have an overall message that says, you know, learn what you're supposed to learn while you're here. Do what you're supposed to do while you're here, and focus on that, and the rest will sort of take care of itself.
Well, just listening to you, I kind of am blown away at the fact that a whale of any or a dolphin can even suspect that we have issues like that, and to know that, just to know that they might just be connected with us telepathically, whether we like it or not, is kind of almost scary in a sense, you know. I wonder if they are not more evolved than we are.
I think that when it I guess the best way I can explain it is when we look at the evolution, and we're not talking about the scientific fact of, you know, are chimps smarter than dolphins and dolphins smarter than humans, et cetera. What we're talking about is the true essence and energy of all living things. And I think to a degree they are more evolved than we are. And the fact that they open themselves up to be able to accept everything around them and to do what they need to do to fulfill their purpose and mission for being here. And where we lack in humans, in my opinion, is the fact that we get caught up in that thing called life, and we forget why we are here. We forget to search for the purpose that we're here and try to fulfill that purpose every single day. So they know that, in the case of the dolphins and the whales, they know that this weighs heavy on humans' minds. We talk about it enough and we think about it enough, but we don't do enough about it. So they're here to tell us, you know, not to beat us over the head saying, hey, you're killing us, you're polluting the waters, you're messing up the world, but more of a softer message saying you have the ability to be able to work together and to solve these problems and sort of follow our lead.
Mm-hmm. All right, we need to take about a 4-minute break, Tim. I sent you one more picture of a wild bird, a dead wild bird, that I wanted you to look at because it's a crazy story behind it. It was actually very upsetting. Do you see that? Yeah, I see you saw it. So when we come back in about 4 minutes, hopefully you can tell me something about that. And I know the professor probably has some questions for you, and we haven't let him in here in this conversation yet. So we'll be back in a couple minutes with animal communicator Tim Link.
Tenacity Radio, your source for eclectic talk and music. Can't make it to a show? Check out the archives at tenacityradio.com or listen to them right on your iPhone, BlackBerry, Palm Pre, or Android. Go to tenacityradio.com for all of the details, show schedules, and more. Tenacity Radio, real entertainment, no excuses.
There are things in this world that are unexplainable. Footsteps in the night, disembodied voices, and sights that chill us to the bone. Uncovering these mysteries one by one, Mystic Seekers Paranormal Investigation seeks to find out what bumps in the night, using a mixture of science and spiritualism to make the mysteries of this world just a little more clear. Listen to Mystic Seekers Tuesdays, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on Tenacity Radio.
Are you searching for strength in these times of job loss and economic turmoil? Do you know that the Christian faith has time-tested answers to help you? This is Dr. Dan Eichen, host of Biblical Principles for Kingdom Living, heard Sunday afternoons at 1:30, right here on Tenacity Radio. Join me as we explore the scriptures together to find strength and help in your time of need.
Hi, this is Chris from Spirit Finders Talk Radio on TenacityRadio.com. You know, growing up gay was not an easy thing for me. I had no one to talk to or confide in. When I got to high school, things got worse. The name-calling, the bullying, the downright meanness. And yes, I thought about suicide a lot. But I'm still here. And I'm here to let you know that it does get better. All you have to do is stick around and see and realize you are not alone. If you're gay, bi, lesbian, or transgender and have thoughts of suicide or just need someone to talk to, call 1-866-4-U-TREVOR. That's 1-866-488-7386. And just know that we here at Spirit Finders Talk Radio love you, and it does get better. Visit The Trevor Project at www.thetrevorproject.org. Or you can visit the It Gets Better Project at www.itgetsbetter.org. Thank you, Dan Savage. Like a rainbow.
Every day, ordinary people around the world are having extraordinary experiences.
Some of these experiences are profound and life-changing, while others reveal a cold, dark truth that's unfathomable to the human condition.
Join us as we discuss the paranormal, close encounters with the unusual, and interactions with the supernatural.
Join the Enigma Project.
Etc. But this whole topic came up of, you know, is there reincarnation? Can animals come back? Can humans come back? Can humans come back as animals? Animals, humans, etc., etc. And so I posed it back to Shirley to ask her what she thought about all this. And she said, well, I'll tell you a story. She said, back in the 70s, I was flying back from India with a monk. And we were beside each other. He was fascinated about Hollywood, and I was fascinated about the spiritual life and past, etc. And this whole conversation came up about life after death and then reincarnation. And about that time, a fly flew on the window, the passenger window, and instinctually, as humans do, Shirley reached into the front pocket of the seat in front of her and grabbed the magazine and rolled it up and was getting ready to swat the fly. And at that point, the monk stopped her and said, "No, no, Shirley, you must not do that. That fly may be your grandmother." So, so she never got quite around to answering that question. I think it's a hotbed of a topic, a hot mind there. But I thought that was a wonderful story. In fact, that don't just arbitrarily swat the fly, because you just never know what the true energy of that fly is all about.
Wow. Yeah, it's the same thing when I see ladybugs. I always wonder.
Well, ladybugs are good luck. It's a good luck sign. If you look in some of the cultures, Chinese cultures, et cetera, if you have ladybugs around you or in your house, if they appear, that's actually a very good sign. Blessings will come upon you and your house.
So. Here in the Cincinnati area, they're a problem. There'll be swarms of them. They'll take over your house.
They'll be everywhere. You got to be careful. But yeah, it's.
All right. Where is our dear professor? Where are you?
I am here.
You are. Tim, you will find him very interesting because he's really into the metaphysical. Let's hear it, Earl. What's going on? What do you have a question?
Actually, I think it's really interesting. We're talking about the reincarnation, the life cycle here, because. Just bringing in that Tibetan, Buddhist monk coming from India, that fits perfectly in with the Buddhist concept of reincarnation. That as a human, even and to give it a couple of examples, but as a human, if you were to really want to expand yourself, and it was something that you had spent your whole life that it bugged you that you couldn't fly or you couldn't. Really travel and see the world. When you die, you have the option. You're kind of given a super insight into your life, into your what you need in order to become enlightened. And you may choose as a higher being that you want to come back as a bird, and you want to live as a bird, and you want to have the opportunity to fly and to travel to different places and kind of expand your horizons, if you will. So you can choose to become an animal for a positive reason like that, or even if you're a very abusive person to animals, you may choose, once you pass away, you may choose to come back as an animal in order to experience what they've experienced you doing to them. So there's a lot of interaction. Unfortunately, I think that stereotype of your grandmother being possibly that fly that you might swat is, I think it's really done an injustice to the whole concept.
Well, don't flies only live like 24 hours? So more than likely, she'll come right back and take care of business, right?
Well, unfortunately, I think for Western culture and Christianity in particular, grabbed that idea and kind of just made a comical, made it funny. You know, it's not, you know, that's just silliness. And it's really glossing over the issue, and it's really not giving it the proper respect that it deserves.
Yeah, I think that's, my belief, I think it's spot on with that, and the fact that, you know, we have life experiences. We're here for a particular reason. Hopefully we identify what that reason is, and we fulfill that purpose for being here. And then we make that transition, then we have options to come back. And it could be for a similar purpose in a different body, or it could be a totally different purpose, a different life experience. And I think it's a cycle that goes on and on, and that's part of our spirituality. It's part of our essence of who we are. And I think that, you know, the whole debate of trying to minimalize it, you know, when I look back on it in 2004 and I uncovered this gift to be able to communicate with animals, I really had to figure out, well this is fantastic, but what the heck am I supposed to do with this? Mm-hmm. I'm a telecom executive selling multi-million dollar packages to cellular phone companies and manufacturers, etc. And it wasn't like I could tell them, hey, I tell you what, if you buy like $20 million worth of this technology today, I'll come by and tell you why Fluffy's no longer using the litter box. So, Professor,
it's kind of funny that you're already in communications, though.
It is, yeah. It's just a different manner of communicating. Yeah. But I knew those two worlds weren't quite ready. At some point in our, hopefully some point in time, those two worlds will be accepting of each other. So I think it's what you said, Professor, is the fact that try not to minimalize it. Try to open minds and hearts where you can, but you have to realize that it's sometimes a delicate subject, and you have to know how to approach it best with certain people.
Well, Tim, I have a question. Wait, because this, I was looking at, you have two schnauzers.
I do have two schnauzers.
Right.
Yeah. Does that mean you have four nostrils?
Here's my question. How in the world, if you're looking at a litter of little puppy schnauzers and they're all communicating to you, how do you choose two of them?
We let them choose us. And I'll tell you the story of my boys. My boys are Buzz and Woody, and they're brothers from the same litter. Woody, who's the black-haired pointed ear one that you'll see on my website, wagging-tails.com. little plug there.
I'm laughing. I love schnauzers. So.
They're great boys. Well, yeah. Woody made his transition last year, last summer. He had a whole series of health ailments, everything from developing sudden retinal degeneration, so he went blind overnight for no apparent reason, diabetes, Cushing's, kidney issues, gallbladder issues, etc. And his brother, Buzz, who's the gray floppy-eared one, he's still alive and in body with us, doing fantastic. But he has now taken on a majority of those same ailments that that Woody had in his lifetime. And their Buzz will be 9 this year. Woody was going to be 8 when he made his transition. So it's still relatively young. Definitely the best animals I've had that made that kind of transition, canines at least. Mm-hmm. But the amazing thing about it was I was traveling literally the world selling this cellular phone technology, and I hadn't uncovered this gift yet. And lo and behold, my wife went on to petfinder.com, a wonderful rescue site to find all kinds of wonderful rescue animals that you can adopt and bring into your home. And she was helping a colleague of hers try to find a location for a black cat, a little black kitten that she had found. It was October, so it was around Halloween time, and so it was very hard to place this animal into a rescue facility or a shelter. And while she was trying to help the colleague with the black cat, she uncovered the boys. And we intention. I was traveling the world. I really felt, you know, the dogs, one dog, let alone two, would be quite a challenge for her to take care of since I was on the road most of the time. But little did I know, to make a long story short, greatest blessings in my life, and they've taught me so much. They came into my life about 2.5 months before this gift opened itself up.
And oh, wow.
Yeah. And so through all these trials, learning lessons, trials and tribulations they had health-wise, I've now learned about all these diseases and all these challenges. And now I've spoken to thousands of people around the world over the radio and on television and in my book to teach them about these things and to tell them about these and how animals handle these type of ailments and what they're here to do. So they came through, though it may sound harsh that they've had to go through so many challenges physically in their life, the realization that I do believe they came to my life to help me open this gift and to talk about these things with humans, with other people, to teach them.
So you do think they came in to help you with that gift?
Absolutely. Greatest teachers I've ever had, and just the greatest love that you could possibly give. I mean,
okay, things. Well, have you have acquired any pets since you've had the gift? How did you choose them?
Yeah, well, everything we've done is animals that have come into our life unexpectedly, and they're usually animals that come to us through rescue or through finding the animals, you know, bringing them into our forever home. So we're heavily involved into animal rescue organizations. I'm a former president of a local no-kill shelter here in the northern Atlanta area. So I do a lot of work with rescue organizations, and whenever I'm out on book tours and doing events, I always team up with a rescue organization. But each one of these is the same thing. We have a rabbit named Ripley, and Ripley was adopted actually through Petco. At one point, Petco Corporation had been selling rabbits, and there was a big push to get them to quit selling rabbits and some of the other animals, and lo and behold, they agreed that was not something that they should be doing, so they started adopting them. And we happened to walk in a Petco one day, and I was thinking we were going to lunch to get pizza, and come to find out, we went to lunch to get a beautiful furry little dwarf rabbit.
Mmm, pizza.
And then we went and got pizza.
Hey, I got a question. How do you... What? It has to bother you when you go through, like, a... do the animals that are consumed communicate with you?
They do, you know, and it's funny you mention this. I had a great conversation with some friends of ours. We had a big get-together. If you didn't know it, North Georgia mountains have wonderful wineries. I didn't know if you knew this or not.
And they're beautiful. I do now, and we will be there soon.
Be there soon. Come on down. But they have these wonderful wineries and beautiful lodges up there right at the edge of the Appalachian Mountains going up into the Blue Ridge. And it's just a beautiful area. So we tend to get together with friends and family a couple of times a year just to go up there and enjoy everything. And we had that deep discussion about animals, you know, animals that are consumed for food. And do they understand that? And why do we do these things? And isn't it so terrible, etc. And I told him I've had conversations with animals that are, you know, farm animals, animals that we consume as humans. And the conversation consistently has come back from the animals that as long if they're treated humanely while they're here, we respect them while they're here and honor them while they're here, then they're okay with that. They took upon that purpose, that experience. They knew that experience was going to happen. That's something they wanted to experience while they were here. And as long as we treat them ethically, they're okay with that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to get some people to sort of buy into that, and the fact that why would somebody once again choose that life if they knew ahead of time? Why would they choose that life? And is it something that humans do just to cleanse our consciousness? And in reality, what I find, like I said, when I find out consistently is if they're treated humanely and we get the message, we get the understanding, we honor them ahead of time, then they are okay with that. And I think it sort of goes back to, you know, when we talked about, the ancient cultures, the cultures that, you know, hunted food for, hunted livestock, hunted wild animals for food and consumed those animals back in the days, you know, they honored those animals. Whenever they went out to hunt, they honored the animals before mm-hmm. they consumed them, and they tried to use every part of the animal to help them in their life. And I think that was, you know, compared to today, that's a big shift. And we're trying, I think, as a culture to go back to that sort of more ethical, organic, green, cage-free, you know, natural grazing, those type of mm-hmm. environments.
Yeah, and I think you can actually thank a lot of vegans for that. because of them complaining, a lot of people have really shaped up their meat processing plants and how cattle are raised and everything. I saw a big documentary on this. In fact, yeah. Cargill in Colorado is mm-hmm. awesome. I mean, they really pay attention to being ethical, and the death has to be humane, and I was really impressed.
It's part about that consciousness, the human consciousness coming around, and, you know, I think that we are slowly getting the hint. I think we're slowly understanding what life and the world and our spirituality and the essence of every living thing around us is all about. It's very slow. It's like a giant freighter ship. You can't turn it on a dime. It's a slow turn. But as long as we are keeping honest to ourselves and opening our hearts and following the lead of those that can teach us, then I think we're going to be on the right track.
So, Tim, before I wanted you to say some things that you wanted to mention about your site and maybe some other things that you do. But before that, can you tell us about that cat story that I saw on the news a while back, how there was a woman was missing her cat for, 9 months? And did you use a pendulum to find that?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. A little slow in the draw. Us humans are a little slower than animals.
Perhaps you need your pet familiar with you on these
interviews.
Well,
no. I mean, I'm sure you have a million stories, and I'm sitting here throwing one at you. I understand.
No, that's fine. And that's in my book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. There's another quick marketing plug for you.
Say the book again.
I love this.
The book, my book that's out there is called Wagging Tails, W-A-G-G-I-N-G. T-A-L-E-S.
They can get it on your website?
Get it on the website. It's available at Amazon and all the online sites.
And if you're some form of animal, you already knew that.
You already knew that. And
okay.
Try finding some bookstores out there too. But it's Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, and it's a collection of about 12 different stories of animals I worked with, especially in the early days when I was uncovering this gift. And it covers everything from lost animals to animals that have health issues that the veterinarians couldn't figure out, and we help guide them and get those animals healthy again, to mental problems, physical problems, emotional problems. So the things I do on a daily basis. And the story you're talking about is...
Wow, congratulations on that book. That sounds awesome.
Thank you. It's a great book. And the nice thing is it's a very simple, easy read. There's some helpful hints and tips in there as well. And it's very suitable for young adults.
Is it available on audiobook?
It is. Boy, that's a good question. I don't think it is. It's in ebooks, all kinds of different ebooks. I do know that. They didn't pay me enough of an advance to do the audio on it. I probably could have done it.
It may be coming, everybody.
To a sound system near you.
Okay. All right. So let's hear about this cat story.
So there's several of them. Actually, the one you're referring to is not in the book. I will recant that, but it's on my website, wagging-tails. And it's a story about Sam the cat, who lives in Maryland, and Sam was missing for 18 months. And they looked high and low for Sam, and Sam was an indoor cat, never been outside, and lo and behold, now got loose and went on a nice journey. So I was contacted to see if we could find Sam the cat. And when I do lost pet consultations, which is probably what I'm best known for, is working with animals and trying to reunite them with their families. And when I do these consultations, I do a combination of connecting with the animal to try to ask them as many questions as I possibly can that will help in where they're located at. So are there trees, are there bushes, are there cars near you? If there are cars, are they white cars, blue cars, et cetera? Are you in a house? Are you out of a house? So on and so forth. So I ask a lot of questions to get as much information as I can up front. And then I do a technique which is called map dowsing. Which map dowsing is pulling up a series of maps, whether they're hard copy maps or whether they're on the computer from Google Maps or Bing or one of the other sites. And I use a pendulum. I pick my favorite pendulum that resonates with me and gives me my answers. And I use those maps to narrow down the energy of where the animal is located. And sometimes I will say this is not like if you remember the television show Charmed. It wasn't like you could pull out a map of San Francisco and the pendulum would all of a sudden slam down into the map and that's where you're, where it's located.
Well, doesn't the pendulum just swing back and forth and it gives you a yes or no answer?
It gives you a yes or no. So you pull up the map and say you pull up, a hypothetical city, the city of Joliet, Illinois. So if there's any listeners from Joliet, go Joliet. So we pull up a picture of Joliet, Illinois, and we say, is the cat Sam? Is it live and in body in this part of the map? And the pendulum will give me a confirmation of yes or no, or if the animal has made its transition or is sick or injured, it, for me at least, it vibrates very rapidly in one spot. Mm-hmm. And it'll consistently do that. And then once I narrow it down that he's in Joliet, Illinois, or in this case it was in Maryland, we narrow it down a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further until we can get as close as we possibly can. There have been a few occasions where we can find the exact location, the exact house. Sometimes we find it within an eighth of a mile radius, a city block, or a mile radius, usually no more than a mile. But we can narrow it down. And then the technique is basically you take the first bit of information, the communication you had with the animal, the information the animal shared, combine it with where the energy was resonating. You look at your map and point out the locations that match what the animal shared with you that's within that map and within that grid. And then I tie that all together with a nice little bow with all kinds of helpful suggestions and advice and things you should do. I work to try to get the animal to come back to your house, to your location, if that's what's meant to be, and if the animal is able to do so, physically able to do so. If not, then I give you the area that you should be focusing on, the pinpoints of where you should focus your attention on. And that's what we did with Sam the cat. We narrowed it down to one city block. Come to find out, it was only a half a mile from where the lady lived. And
that blows my mind.
15 months, and he'd went on a little bit of a journey, but he was in the, you know, relatively in the same area, within a mile, mile and a half. And at this point, he was within a half a mile. And I had her put jumbo posters with pictures of Sam and just her phone number at the end of each of these blocks. And lo and behold, that night she got a phone call, and the gentleman said, "I just moved into the neighborhood. I've only been here a couple of weeks. I noticed this orange cat that was outside. I started feeding it, eventually invited it into my home. I had an orange cat when I was a child, so my cat's name was Sam. So I decided to name this cat Sam, but I think it's your cat." And she said, "Well, that's funny. I didn't put that on the poster, but that is the name of my cat."
That's crazy.
So she gets the address of the gentleman, goes over, rings the doorbell, opens the door, and Sam comes walking up to her, rubbing against her like he's never been gone a day, let alone 18 months.
Oh, my God. That is a great story to end on, Tim. That is so wonderful.
Yes.
So if somebody needs you, they go to, where do they go for Lost Pets?
Absolutely. For anything I can do to help for a consultation, go to wagging-tails.com. That's T-A-L-E-S.com. You can do consultations if you're having behavior or medical or emotional problems with your animal. If you have lost animals, or you have animals that are about to make their transition or have made their transition, that's what I can help you out with.
Do pets ever contact you with the problems they're having with their humans?
They usually tell me ahead of time.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
So what's your piece of news?
Let's stay away from some of Robbie's silly questions.
There's no charge for those.
You are an absolute pleasure.
Oh,
really?
Thank
you.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure being on tonight, and I look forward to speaking with you guys some more down the road.
Yeah, so informative and enlightening. Really, thank you very much for coming on. And good luck. And yeah, I hope to have you on in the future with some new stories. All right. And there's a lot more we didn't touch on. So, you know, I'd love to have you back. So thank you again for coming on.
The animals always have a lot to say. So,
my pleasure. Thanks, Tim. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Wow, that was great. Again, I have never interviewed an animal communicator, so that was neat.
Well, I appreciate it. It was fun. It was fun. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Flies. Right. Don't say flies. They're talking about flies in the chat room.
Oh. You never know.
I've got to sign off because SF Talk Radio is on next. So I want to just mention that this episode of Got Paranormal has been sponsored by Project PE at paranormalexperiences.net, a website similar to Facebook but dedicated to everything paranormal with over 2,100 members from all over the world. Stay tuned for SF Talk Radio here on Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment, no excuses. Enjoy your evening.